Now, I ask you to move over to the book of Matthew. If you've been around here for a while, you know we've been in the book of Revelation now for, we officially jumped into this series called The Reigning King in January. But if you go back even a year ago, we were in a series called Seven. You remember from Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, where we were talking about the seven churches and what God had to say to the seven churches. Over the last 4 or 5 months, we've been talking about things like the seven seals, those seven seal judgments. We've been talking about the trumpet judgments that for the last several weeks. We've seen a picture of the throne room and what's going on there. We've seen how the worship of God is happening in heaven today. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to take a little break. I'm going to take a one-week break. And the reason I'm going to take a one-week break on it is this, is that many times what happens, you'll come out after the series or after a sermon and you'll go, man, Revelation has been awesome. It has been something where I've been, you know, in days past, it's made me nervous, it's scared, I don't understand it. I'm now understanding that we can have hope through Revelation because of what John was writing to those people. But there's always another side of that. People also come out and they say, man, in the midst of where we're facing, because what they were facing and he wrote and said, there's hope. Listen, what we're facing today, how do we do this? What do we do? How do we stand strong? Well, I wanna ask a question to us today, and then hopefully we're gonna be able to answer it today also. Because that is a question I want to turn back to you. In the face of what we're looking at today in our society, with everything going on around us, what God has defined seems to be being redefined today, doesn't it? I mean, where you start looking at the intrinsic value of life. I mean, people find no value and dignity in life anymore today. It can be destroyed. It can be abused. You start talking about how God has designed male and female. He's created us as male and female. And now then there's the redefinition of, am I really a male or a female right now? I mean, like, and I'm wanting to go, you got to be one or the other. I mean, come on. I mean, this is how God designed us. Sexuality. Listen, everything that's coming at us today, as followers of Jesus Christ, how do we stand strong? Here's even another question. How is it that your kids are not going to be eat alive? How is it that your grandkids are not going to be eat alive by the godless world philosophies of the day? How does that happen? Well, I want to put forth to you that I think the scripture tells us that the way that that happens is by us, the church, not the building, the church, us being disciples of Christ, being followers of Him. Those of us that we take seriously the fact that we've surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ and that we've submitted our lives to Him. With that, open up. We're going to look at Matthew. Many of you, I'm going to read a verse there, a couple of verses. You're going to know this. Many of you are going to know this because this is a pretty familiar passage. And I think that the way forward is not a new idea. The way forward is to go back. Let's go back to what the scripture has to say. And what's the plan that Jesus gave us so that we can stand strong in the world in which we're facing today? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. 18, 19, and 20. You will know this if you've been around a while. It's called the Great Commission. And here's what Jesus said. He said, and Jesus came and he said to them. Now, I want to stop here real quick. He's already been raised from the dead. This is pre his ascension. He is about to leave his instructions to those who are following him. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus speaking. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Please circle, underline, highlight, annotate, whatever you're doing. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the earth. Listen, when God planted Adam and Eve into the garden, he told them to be fruitful, multiply, to have dominion, subdue the land. This is all before the fall. You realize that, to subdue the land. He's basically telling them to cultivate the garden. Do you realize that the word cultivate is the same word we get culture in? What he's saying here is God was saying, hey, I want you to create a God culture. I want you to create an atmosphere so that my glory can spread. You know what Jesus is telling us here? Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to create a Jesus culture. I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to go and I want you to make followers. I want you to go and make people who will look like me, who do what I do, who walk like I walk. So I'm gonna answer one real quickly, and then I want to flesh this out. How is it that we are going to survive today? How is it that the church is going to survive? How is it that your children are going to be able to make it? How is it that you're going to be able to make it? I want you to hear this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been called to be a disciple. That's what we've been called to be, is a disciple. A disciple is a learner or a follower. It's one who follows after. And here's the deal. I'm going to start out right here. I want you to hear this very clearly. Make sure, and I'm going to say it happily. If we are to be disciple makers who make disciples, because we believe that if we're, and I, hopefully you're going to be convinced of this by the time we're done, that the way forward is the way back, that how we remain strong is by making disciples, then we first have to understand this. Are we disciples? Because you can't make something you're not. Humans make humans. Dogs make dogs. Cats make cats. Disciples make disciples. And I want you to hear this. For too many of us, we've trusted in being a convert, not a disciple. I hear a lot of, Listen, I'm not talking about being a convert, like I've changed my mind. That's only part of it. A disciple is someone who, like, they follow after. They follow after. Turn one page over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 16, 17, and 18. In chapter 1, you see that Jesus has been baptized. The Holy Spirit, God spoke and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He then goes into the wilderness. He is tempted by Satan. He overcomes that temptation by the word of God. He overcomes that temptation. And now he is beginning his earthly ministry. Jesus says, listen, the time has come. The kingdom of God is in hand. And then what he does is he puts together a team. He calls together a team, and that's where we get in verse 16, 17, and 18. And here's what he said. So passing along, this is Jesus. So passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon. Simon, you'll learn, is Peter later on, okay? He sees Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. 16-year-old Kyle Goen, Greenville, Texas, my Baptist traditional church, everything, white pews, white everywhere, gold carpet. Some of you are going, oh, yeah, I went that same church. Greenville, Texas is about 90 miles from Fort Worth. There's a seminary there. That's where I went to seminary, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, because we were close enough to seminary. We were considered a seminary church. It's where if you were practicing, you're learning, you were being a pastor during seminary, we always had seminarians who would come. They would be there maybe a year and a half, 2 years at most, and then they move on. As a student, as a youth member, youth group guy, I think I had like 6 or 7 youth pastors during that time. But at 16, 17, I had a guy come in. His name was Phil. Phil was different than everyone else that I remember. Phil came into my life. He came into my church. He was single. He was intense. He was an athlete. He was a punter from East Tennessee State University. Maybe he was an athlete. He was a punter. I don't know. I mean, I didn't know any better. He was like on scholarship. I thought, that's cool. He loved Jesus like no one I'd ever seen before. He liked to work out. I thought I was an athlete, so I'd go work out with him. I'd hang out with him. We would eat dinner together. We would eat lunch together. I would be at his home. He would come and be in my home. Wherever he went, guess where I was? I was like, right on it. Boy, I'm going with him. I'm there. He would come and sit at my table, and he would talk about Jesus and what he's doing in his life. Listen, I wanted what Phil had. I'd grown up in church. I knew all the Bible answers. I had surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, but I wanted what that dude had. He talked about Jesus like I had never heard before. His life demonstrated something. There was a power in his walk with Jesus. I mean, he would take us, and this is back during the day, we'd go visit people on a Monday night, go see kids, and we'd walk up to the door to see this kid. He'd ring the doorbell, and then he would go, "Hey, by the way, you're talking." And I'm going, "What the? Are you kidding me? What are you doing?" He trained me in what it looked like to follow Jesus. He sat down with me, and he said, "Listen, I want you to do what I'm doing." Folks, that is what it means to be a disciple of Christ. That is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You want to know how your family, how you are going to stand? You want to know how your kids are going to stand in this? Is when you start doing that with your kids. Wives, husbands, let me start with you. Husbands, I need you to stand up and be a man in your home with the Word of God. To follow what the Bible says. That means you got to start reading it. You got to start sitting with people. And listen, don't start telling everybody, "Hey, go do this." You start doing it and watch them follow you. Wives, if your husband's not doing that, then you start. You don't start telling your husband what he needs to do. You just start living out the Word, praying with your family. Listen, to be a disciple of Jesus means that you do what he does. What he did, you read the Word, you pour the Word in. You walk like Jesus. This is how we're going to stand. Did you realize that the word disciple is used in the New Testament over 260 times? 13 times in the Gospels. 13 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 13 times Jesus said, "Follow me." Now, this may bust some of your bubbles. He never told anybody, "Bow your head, close your eyes, and pray this prayer." That's very important that we do bow our head and close our eyes and pray to him. But when Jesus called his people to be a disciple, he said, "You follow me. Follow me. You do what I do." The scripture tells us here, the scripture tells us that these guys were fishermen. That means, listen, they had boats, they had nets. They had a lucrative business. Listen, in that day and time, being a fisherman is bottom of the totem pole in society. You know, I mean, it was a great business plan because fish was on every menu. Literally, fish was every meal. So you were going to make some money, but you were counted at the bottom of the heap. People didn't want to be a fisherman. Listen, today, you know that. I mean, listen, you've seen Deadliest Catch, Wicked Tuna. I mean, listen, that's a hard life. That's a hard life. And yet Jesus told them, he said, "Listen, follow me." You know what the word, you know, when he said follow me, literally that means come after me. In today, Middle Tennessee, that would be come on, boys. And you know what they did? The scripture says they dropped their nets and immediately they went. Do you realize all that probably cost them? It cost them their livelihood. It cost them their familiarity. This was probably a family business. And the scripture says it wasn't just Simon and Andrew, Peter and Andrew. It was James and John. The two brothers, they would have probably known each other, fishing the same Sea of Galilee, right down from each other. Let's go. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what exactly they were going to do, but they did know who it was they were following. This is exactly what Jesus has called us to. So with that, now I'm going to give you the 2 points on where we're going today. You're going, whoa. It revolves simply around follow me. So if you're taking notes, you better write down, follow me. Well, let's talk about the first one, to follow. To follow means it's a radical departure. There's a radical departure that happens. That means everything that you once knew, everything that Andrew and Simon knew, everything that James and John knew, they left. They dropped it. And they began to walk. They began to follow after the one who had called them. And it cost them everything. Because you see, they left everything that they knew. Some of you right now, you're going, you're getting a little trembly inside. You're going, are you calling me to like sell my business? Are you calling me to like leave my family? Are you calling? No, here's what I'm calling you to do. I'm calling you to have an open hand about everything that's in your life today. God, this is yours. If you call me to leave it, I will. If someone didn't tell you that's what discipleship means, I'm here to do that for you. It means I'm going after you, Jesus. What you do, where you go, where you... The scripture tells us that we have been bought with a price. I am not my own. It is no longer I that live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The life that now I live by the flesh, I am dead to that old life. This is how we're going to make it today. Turn over a few pages to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. 8:34, this is again, I'm not plowing new ground for many of you. Mark 8:34, Jesus is speaking. He says, if anyone would come after me, remember what follow me means? Come after. If anyone would follow me, come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. Come after me. Listen, in a world today that is all about self, self-love, self-promotion, Jesus said, die. Die. Deny yourself. Listen, everyone knew what a cross meant. He says, listen, if you really want to follow me, then you've got to come after me. You want to talk about a radical departure to follow? That's a radical departure. You can't go after something without leaving something behind. You realize that all of us one day are going to leave everything behind. You've heard the illustration that at a funeral, you never see the hearse pulling a U-Haul. You're leaving it all behind. It's all done. Thank you, Carl. It's all going to be left. And Jesus calls us today. Don't let them pry it out of your hand. Hold it open. Jesus, this is yours. A German theologian and pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I'm moving out of the way because I'm going to put a quote on the screen that I want you to see. I want to read this quote to you. And I want you to be able to see it as I read it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, 1940s, Nazi Germany. This is what he had to say. The cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering, which every man must experience, is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old man, which is the result of his encounter with Christ. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give our lives over. We give over our lives to death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Some of you today, you're thinking, I don't want to come to Christ. He may send me somewhere a long way away and I'll die over there in some far out place. I want you to hear this. If you don't realize this, coming to Christ is death. Death to everything you once knew and new life today. That's why we talk about finding life. It's new life. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone. It's death. That means the way you think, the way you act, the things you want to do. Now, I don't want you, don't turn me off right here. I struggle with this. I don't have this down pat. I don't know any of us that do. But the question is, are we holding a death grip on our lives, or are we holding open and saying, God, it's yours. You take me where you want to take me. You do with me what you want to do with me. Jesus, I'm not following after all the godless world systems of today. I'm going after you. I don't understand all of this. I don't even know how it's all going to work out, but I'm going with you. I'm departing from this, and I'm going this direction. This is why you hear me say all the time, when you come to Christ, you say, God, I trust you. I submit myself to your word. I come under your word. You don't judge the word by your experience. You judge your experience by what the word of God says. And what God says is true, and you follow after that. Some of you right now, you're going, this dude's freaked. No, I'm just telling you what normative Christianity is. And if you didn't realize that, I want you to be awake, because I want you to make it. I want your kids to make it. I want us as a church, not as a building. I'm talking about as a body. I want us to make it strong in the days in which we're in. And the only way we do that is we say bye-bye to the old, and we follow Jesus into where it is that he leads. I don't know where he's taking me, but I'm going with him, because he's the one that died my death. He paid for my sin. And so how do we do that today? It's by being a true disciple. Listen, if you're calling yourself a disciple, but he makes no difference in your life. You come to an event on Sunday, and then you go. Listen, this isn't about an event. This is about a lifestyle of being a follower of Jesus Christ. This is what he has called us to. I read a story this week and heard a story this week about the Crusaders in the Middle Ages as they get ready to go and fight the holy wars, as they would call to those days, of which I didn't agree with. I want you to hear me. But as they go to fight the holy wars, you know what they did? Many of them would go down into they'd go down into the water, into the river to be baptized en masse. And they would go down, but when they would go down, they would plunge themselves down, but they would leave one arm out, the arm that held their sword. Because I want to give you everything except the one that I'm going to slay the enemy with. Do you realize that that perfectly illustrates many of us today? God, have all of me, but my finances. God, have all of me, but my children. God, have all of me, except this little secret thing over here, this addiction. Have all of me, but not this yet. Folks, I want you to hear me. When you come to Christ, it is a dying to everything. It is a daily death. Christ said, if you want to come after me, you take up your cross and you deny yourself, and then you follow me. This is what we're called to. Some of you today may be thinking, man, this is heavy. Listen, I'm telling you the words of life today. I'm telling you the words of life, and I want you to follow. Listen, I'm looking for men and women in here today who would say, listen, I'm following Jesus. I ain't doing it perfectly, but I'm following Jesus. You can follow me too. Listen, that's what Phil told me, and he invested in me. I'm investing in you. This is how discipleship happens. I need some men and women who will say, listen, there are children and there are students in here who need you. Who need you to say, listen, follow me. I'm following Jesus. I ain't doing it perfectly, but I'm following him, and I want you to come with me. So the very first thing, and follow me, is it takes a radical departure. The second thing, quickly, and I don't have a lot of time here, is the me. Follow me. Who said that? Jesus. So when Jesus said to follow him, he was talking about a radical devotion. There's a radical departure to a radical devotion. Listen, all of us today, we are so devoted to so many things. You're devoted to family. You're devoted to your TV show, a team. you're devoted to this and devoted to that. But what the scripture tells us, Jesus said, if you'll follow me, he told Andrew and Simon and James and John, he said, you follow me and I will make you to become. A devotion to him, a radical devotion to him, will cause you to become something you never even thought you was possible. Today, you're thinking, I don't even know how you do it. Listen, first, you depart from the old and you become devoted to what it is that he has called you to be. You realize that Andrew and Simon and James and John were not at their boats looking around going, hey, I wonder where Jesus is. The scripture tells us that he came by and he said, follow me. And that is the story of every life in here who's ever surrendered their life to Jesus. You weren't looking for him, but he was looking for you. And he wants to make you into a fish. He wants to take your profession and turn it upside down. He's not necessarily looking to take you out of it, but to redefine it in the sphere that you're in so that you have influence so that you're fishing for him. You're designing for him. You're creating for him. You're working for him. Listen, oftentimes we believe falsely the evangelist, the missionary, the pastor, but I want you to hear it's you. It's you who have the frontline view of what it means to be a fisher of men in the business world that you're in the home that you're in. He is calling you today to a radical devotion to him. To him. And when you follow him, he's going to make you into something that is more than you ever thought you could ever be. How does that happen? It happens because you're sitting under his word. It happens because you are meeting with people who have the same desires as you. It happens because we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that when he says speak, we speak. When he says move, you move. So that when he reveals something inside that you go, oh, that didn't honor you. And you come back to him and you repent. You pray, God, forgive me. It didn't honor you. Do you know what his desire is, don't you? What it is that he's doing is he is recreating and molding you and shaping you into the image of his son. See, that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We take a lot of energy in wanting to look like someone else. Well, you better make sure that who you're looking like is pointing you to Jesus. And I'm asking you today, number one, will you come to Jesus? If you've never surrendered your life to him, would you surrender your life to Jesus? It will cost you everything. Listen, when I meet with someone and I start talking about Jesus to them, I almost try to talk them out of it. Because I want them to know, this is going to cost you. So I want you to hear that. It's leaving all of old me and following Jesus, the one who said he would make me to become something that I can't even imagine. And there's truth in that. Have you ever met somebody that you knew them BC, before Christ? And then all of a sudden you're going, there's something different about them. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Maybe you meet some old friends and they look at you and go, hey, you look the same, but you ain't the same. That's Jesus. That's being a disciple. You radically departed and you radically devoted and you became something you didn't even know was possible. Because the scripture tells us the greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And it is his word. By the renewing of your mind, you are transformed and changed. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And how are we going to make it? How are your kids going to make it? When you begin to do that in your home. When you begin to lead your family, when you begin to lead your wives, when you begin to lead your children, how's the church going to make it? When you're leading your family, you're leading your children, and then you come here and you begin to invest in other people's families and children and men and women. Guys, listen, there is a discipleship that is happening, a personal discipleship that is happening in this body between men and women. Let me rephrase that. Women and women, men and men. It's happening in both areas. It is happening between men and women. It's happening in their homes. But specifically, we're seeing that happen. Women's groups, men's groups, they're growing deep in the Lord and they're growing deep in relationship. This is what we're calling us to if we're going to make it in the days ahead. It's not a new deal. I want you to hear me. It's not a new deal. You know what it is? It's an old deal. It's what Jesus left us with. He said, go and make disciples. But I want you to hear me. It's going to cost you everything. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. That's where you get Philippians. Philippians is in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, trash. Count it as trash. In order that I may gain Christ, that I may gain Christ. Listen, I want you to know that whatever you feel like you're sacrificing to follow Jesus, on the other side of it, you're going to look at it and go, that was rubbish. That was trash. You know why? Because Jesus is greater than all of it. He's greater than anything he had ever called you to leave. You know why he's calling you to leave it? Because he knows the greatest gift you could ever have is the gift of himself to you. And that you may go, that sounds, I don't know about that. There's a room full of people here that will testify to that. He is greater. Follower of Jesus in this room. I want you to remind yourself of that. That day when you did surrender your life to him and you radically said, yes, I'm going to die the death of all this and I'm going to go to him. I'm asking you to remember that. Jesus is greater. That thing you've been trying to hang on to, that thing you keep going back to the cross. You know, remember the thing you laid at the foot of the cross that you keep going back to try to pick back up? I want to remind you, Jesus is greater than that. How do we make it today? We follow Jesus. Listen, my hope for you, my desire for you, my desire for me is that we're walking so close to Jesus that when he stops, we bump into him. For so many of us, he's so far ahead, we can't even see him. You know what the great thing is that right now, if you stop and you return or you submit to him for the very first time, I want you to know he's right there with you. Power of the Holy Spirit will change you and make you into someone new. You know, I think the church, the big church, Middle Tennessee Church, I'm not talking Riverdale. I could, but I'm talking the church. I think we lack power in Middle Tennessee, Rutherford County, United States of America, because we've stop following. We've been trying all kinds of new things. But I want you to hear this. The way forward is the way back. It's about making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And that's what I'm calling you to do today. First, you've got to determine, are you a disciple? And am I going to be walking in discipleship? So that I can then turn and make disciples. And I want you to hear this today. The Bible tells us that none of us are righteous. None of us are right before God on anything that we do, in and of ourselves. Scripture says that all of our righteousness, all the good things we do, they're like filthy rags. Everything we try to do to earn that place back, it's rubbish, it's rags. The scripture tells us that while we were still sinners, far from him, spitting in his face, trying to earn salvation, trying to be good, the scripture tells us that Christ died for us. The Romans, while we were still sinners, Christ demonstrated his love for us. He gave his life for us. And today, he, by the power of the Spirit, offers you a free gift, the gift of eternal life. Some of you right now, you're going, I know that. In fact, what you've been saying is making sense. I want you to know it has nothing to do with me. I'm not sure I make sense most of the time. It is the Holy Spirit who is stirring in you, who has awakened you. And today, he's calling you to respond in faith. I would even say the exact same thing to you who have surrendered your life to Christ. If you're going, yeah, I know this sounds, yeah. That's the Spirit calling you back to him. Today, Zion, I'm going to ask you guys, y'all come on up. I'm going to ask our band to come. We're going to pray. We're going to respond. I'm asking you not to run out on this. You may have somewhere that you have to be because it's an emergency. Would you just kind of, if you can, hang for a moment? Because I'm going to ask that the Spirit do a work in your life and that you be willing to hear and obey whatever it is that he's telling us. Father, we love you. We honor you. I'm asking you right now, would you call men and women to yourself today? In the things that we've sung, when we've sung about your name, when we've tried to lift you up, we've exalted you through the word. We've magnified you, Jesus, and you said that when you were lifted up, specifically on the cross, but we've tried to lift you up even today. You would draw men and women to yourself. And so right now we're asking you to do that. Holy Spirit, would you have your way in here? For some of you in here, your response today to him is to return to him, to that radical devotion. For some of you, it is a radical departure. You need to come to him for the very first time. I'm going to ask that you surrender your life to him, that you speak words to him, and then you begin to follow him. Follow Jesus. I would like for you to come and talk to me about it. I'd love to hear so I can celebrate with you, so I can help you walk those next steps. Maybe some of you need to be baptized as a follower of Christ. You need to plant your life here. We want to help you take those next steps. I'm going to ask now, would you stand all around this building? Zion and Zeke and Zakira, they're going to lead us. Jesus, we magnify you. We honor you. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to do your work in this moment. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.